From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to this number one rated late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. Later on tonight, midweek open lines, but here's what's happening. An American Airlines flight attendant is facing charges that he started a fire in an airplane bathroom as the flight from Dallas approached Detroit. The FBI says no one was injured during this incident aboard Flight 1418. The plane landed safely at Detroit Metropolitan Airport. Now, in a criminal complaint, the FBI says that he admitted setting paper towels on fire with a lighter. The FBI says he immediately then put out the fire, exited the bathroom, and returned with a fire extinguisher to take care of any smoldering towels. What is wrong with them? He admitted his role. Unbelievable. Malaysia's transport minister said there's a high probability that a piece of debris found on a sandbar off of Mozambique is from a Boeing 777, but more investigation is needed to determine whether it is from that ill-fated Malaysia Airlines flight MH370. Remember that one? It disappeared 2 years ago with 239 people on board. Senior Republicans are speaking out against frontrunner Donald Trump after a seven-state victory in the race for the party's presidential pick. Trump has declared himself as a unifier, but he is strongly opposed by veteran Republican politicians. Senator Lindsey Graham has warned that Mr. Trump would lose in November's election. Let's check in with the expert Howard Bloom on this. Howard, why are they turning on Donald?
There is a revolt. There's a rebellion going on in the Republican Party. Michael Hayden is the former head of the Central Intelligence Agency. He was the National Security Agency head under Bill Clinton and George W. Bush. He said, get this, for a commander-in-chief, that the U.S. military might disobey orders if Trump becomes president. 58 Republican foreign policy experts today signed a petition saying they will not support Trump. They accuse him of having, quote, the sentiments of a racketeer. They call him fundamentally dishonest. They say he would make America less safe and that he would diminish our standing in the world, and they add that he poses a distinct threat to our civil liberties, our freedoms. And finally, they call him utterly unfit for office. Lindsey Graham dislikes Ted Cruz, but he dislikes Donald Trump so much more that he says that rallying around Cruz might be the only way to stop Trump. He's that desperate. And economist Ben Stein, whose dad was economic advisor to Richard Nixon, I've known him since he was 20 years old, a long time ago, and has been a lifelong conservative Republican, says he is thinking of voting for Clinton or Sanders. That's desperation.
It sure is.
So things get even crazier here because there's a new poll. It just came out 3 hours ago. It's from CNN and the Opinion Research Corporation poll. And in it, Clinton beats Trump in a national head-to-head count election, 52% to 44%. That's 8 points. Rubio, on the other hand, this is where it really gets weird. Rubio beats Clinton. And Cruz runs neck and neck with Clinton.
That's crazy.
Finally, of all the candidates, who do you think has the highest favorability rating?
Bernie Sanders.
You've got it. He has a 60% favorability rating, and none of the other candidates have a favorability rating over 50%.
Howard, thanks. Probably the strangest presidential campaign I've ever seen. Again, later on tonight, we'll have those special open lines. If you want to chime in, go ahead. Well, a new study has examined the dietary habits of more than 18,300 adults and found that the majority of people, now listen to this, who increased their consumption of plain drinking water by 1% reduced their total daily caloric intake as well as their consumption of saturated fat, sugar, sodium, and cholesterol. Drink more water. The Sports Authority has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection and could shut down in the coming weeks unless it finds a buyer for its business. The company, which operates 450 stores, has agreed to take up to $595 million in bankruptcy financing from senior lenders. As a condition of the loan, the Sports Authority could close and clear out dozens of stores after filing Chapter 11. The company would need to close the rest of its store base by the end of April if it cannot find a buyer that would put more money into the business. Catherine Austin Fitz, of course, heads up the Solari Report. Catherine, is this a sign of the times? Is this because of the internet? What's causing Sports Authority to go down?
There are two stories here, George. One is they did a leverage buyout in 2006, and they loaded the company up with debt and lack of incentives for the management just at the time that they had to re-engineer and get smart about the internet, not just have a great website, but to be mobile-friendly within the store. And in 2006, when they did that leverage buyout, they had the same number of stores that Dick's Sporting Goods. Dick's Sporting Goods had a great website, much more mobile friendly. It's, you know, didn't do a leverage buyout, and it's doing much better now. And of course, the big story is the internet, Amazon. You know, so it's got Dick's Sporting Goods on one side and Amazon on the other. It got loaded up with debt, and now it's in a spiral down. So the odds of it making it through bankruptcy, you know, the odds of a big retail store making it through bankruptcy are always very small.
And we saw what happened to Best Buy, too, where they had to consolidate big time and close stores and Sears and all of them.
You're talking about a major reengineering. You know, you've covered this for several years now. You've got, I called it the shift from global 2.0 to 3.0. You got to be great at the bricks and mortar, but you got to be great at the mobile within the store, like a Starbucks is. They're probably the leader, but you've got to have a great website. So you've got to have a really integrated digital strategy if you're going to make it in retail in this environment. Wait till they approve the drones and the drones start delivering packages. Then it's going to get brutal.
You got it. Catherine, thank you so much. Catherine Austin Fitz. Well, a young girl has threatened to kill her mother with a knife and now has to be tied to her bed at night. She is possessed by the devil, they think. She is a teenager, feared to be possessed by evil and the devil. She dropped to the floor, suffering violent convulsions after she was taken to church. She's from Honduras. The family desperately trying to look for help to get rid of their daughter's evil spirits. Wow. A Washington, D.C. family says their grandmother's body has apparently been lost after they arrived at viewing. Get this. You go to a funeral home to see your deceased loved one. You look in the casket, and it's the wrong person wearing the clothes you brought to the funeral home. Unbelievable. Well, the woman was 83 years old. She lost consciousness. She was taken to a hospital. She died. And so the family, of course, thought they were going to have a nice funeral for Grandma. They don't know where she is. Less than a week, there's going to be a total eclipse of the sun. But what else is going on? Let's check in with the astronomer, Stephen Cates, Dr. Sky. Another great week of looking up there, Stephen.
Yes, George, good to be here talking about March skies, and you brought it up. The big total solar eclipse, George, the first and only one of 2016. Folks, you still have time to pack your bags. You need to be on the other side of the Earth, and that happens on the date of March 8th and 9th. Best place to be would be about 296 miles south of Singapore, somewhere between Singapore and Jakarta, as the shadow cone, George, races across the ocean. You know, you have to be within this 100-mile area in order to see this event. It ends off north of the state of Hawaii at best 4 minutes and 9 seconds of totality. But, George, here's a good way to prelude something. We're talking, as you have been talking with your guests, about the craziness of the presidential election still coming many, many months away. But how about this? The next great total solar eclipse for us in America is called the Great, naturally, Great American Eclipse. Mark the date, August the 21st, 2017, only 536 days away, George. But we get to see something here so spectacular. People are already booking rooms all over the place. But I did a little research for our show this morning and this evening. If you live in the area of Marion, Illinois, the southern part of Illinois,
know it well,
you'll get to see about 2 minutes and 27 seconds of this rare totality. But here's why I mentioned Marion, Illinois. Another total solar eclipse, April the 8th of 2024, actually crosses the same path. Usually, George, you have to be in the same spot to see an eclipse occur at the same location, about 375 years. This is only a 7-year interval. But, George, what would be so cool is to start our Coast and Dr. Sky eclipse expedition. Wouldn't that be cool?
Ooh, I like that.
To have all of our listeners join us. So maybe we'll talk more about that in the future. But as we wrap up, George, in the sky, what you can see now, early morning sky, take a look at that waning, waxing moon, and you'll get to see, George, as many were out early this morning, You'll still get to see the planets Mars, Saturn, and the Moon getting closer to Venus. Still a spectacular planetary array. George, we're just warming up. The warming up act here for March. Many good things to come.
Sounds good, Stephen. Dr. Sky. Up next, trends for 2016. Wait till you hear them from none other than Gerald Celente. Next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. You know, we've got a lot of great guests on Coast to Coast, and I've got a lot of favorites, and one of them is Gerald Celente, founder and director of the Trends Research Institute. It is the number one trends analyst company. Gerald accurately forecasted the dot-com meltdown, the Asian currency crisis, a stock market crash, increased terrorism. He's the best. And here he is back on Coast to Coast. I'm looking forward to this tonight, Gerald.
Thank you. That's very kind of you. I really appreciate being on with you. You have a great show, and it's my favorite to be on.
I have got to ask you about your views of the presidential elections so far in the primaries.
Well, if you go to our Trends Journal, and you go back to last year, last April,
okay,
the spring edition, this is the cover. Liars, cowards, freaks, and fools, welcome to the presidential reality show. And that was 2 months before Donald Trump became a contestant. And that's all this has turned into. These aren't debates that they're having. It's a game show.
It is a game show.
You know, you have 90 seconds to answer the question and 60-second response. It's beat the clock. You're going to talk about, you know, your foreign policy, economic policy in 90 seconds. Look at the staging. Look at the setting. And you know what's really disturbing to me is that, you know, once upon a time, the debates, when they were debates, they used to be run by groups like the, you know, League of Women Voters. Now they're controlled by the major corporations. You know, we have what, Fox, ABC, CBS, NBC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're telling us, you know, what questions should be asked. And by the way, they're getting approximately, the report in the New York Times, about $250,000 for a 30-second commercial.
Wow.
So it's been really hijacked. It's not democracy. And this is our forecast, by the way, when we wrote this. Oh, again, this is before Trump got into the race. If the election were held today and Hillary Clinton survives the cash for influence scandal, we forecast Clinton as the winner. That was back then.
Mm-hmm. And you're probably still sticking with that, I bet.
And that's the only thing that we see stopping her, because the Benghazi thing, you know, the people who are going to vote for her don't care about that issue. But it's really, you know, again, it's a reality show. And Donald Trump, of course, is the reality show champion. So.
Why are the mainstream Republicans, Gerald, turning on him so badly?
Well, think of the word that you just said, mainstream Republicans. And, you know, Lindsey Graham,
mm-hmm.
McConnell, Ryan. You know, these aren't, you know, this isn't like you have a high, you know, heavy, you know, a bunch of heavy hitters there. What it is, it's the decline of the party.
True.
And that's why Trump was able to, as we saw it and watching this and analyzing it. And by the way, we were so sure, George, to call this the presidential reality show, we took out the trademark. We own the trademark for the presidential reality show. We applied for it over a year ago. So when you look at what he did, it was a very simple strategy. The first thing that Trump did, he goes over to George Bush, puts his arm on his shoulder in front of, you know, national TV, 24 million people watching, and says, you know, you're a nice guy, but you're a lightweight. So he took out the top guy. He's a reality show champion. He uses his skills as a real estate developer and a shrewd businessman to win this thing, and he's running against a bunch of nobodies.
Now, if he gets the delegates, is there anything the Republicans can do to stop him?
We don't think so at all, no. The way it looks now, it's Trump and Clinton.
I think so, too. Now, the polls say if Clinton runs against Trump, Trump against Clinton, she wins.
Those are the polls today, and again, we're saying she'll win, and that's because he's alienated a lot of a lot of demographics, including, of course, the Hispanics and the women. But then you look at the other level, and you look at the low turnout for Democrats, at the primaries compared to who's going out for the Republicans. So it may be a toss-up up into the end. You know, one of the things I always say, people say, you know, you can predict, I always say you can't predict the future. We're trend forecasters. There are too many wild cards. And you mentioned before, as I was listening, you've never heard of it, watched a campaign like this in your life.
Ever. Ever.
It's the wild card.
Yeah. So,
By the way, here's something else to consider. Look for a third-party challenge. The time is ripe for it now. One of the ways I made my name as a trend forecaster when I came out with Trend Tracking, my book, back in the late 1980s, I predicted a new third party and mentioned someone like Ross Perot.
What about a Jesse Ventura?
It's possible that he will, and he'll maybe come in on the libertarian line, but he won't have, we don't think, what it takes to really upset the race. Yeah, it needs to be somebody more of a standard bearer, because you brought somebody in now really solid. And a non-politician, by the way. You'd really upset the group. But again, if a third party comes in, Hillary Clinton was sure to be with.
I was going to say the third party candidate hurts Donald Trump more than Hillary.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's going to be an interesting take. What is Donald? And we got there's a lot of people out there that support the guy. I mean, he's winning states by states by states. But I mean, what's wrong with him? What do you think's wrong with him?
Well, you know, we're political atheists, and we look at things for the way they are, not what we want them to be. You know, he's great, as I said, as a reality show champion. But you know, when you listen to some of the things that he says, for example, he was saying that, we have a magazine, you know, the Trends Journal. We're journalists, and here's a quote from him: "I'm going to open up our libel laws to when they write purposely negative and horrible and false articles, we can sue them and win lots of money."
Hmm.
And, you know, what happened to First Amendment, you know?
Yeah.
But again, you know, and when you listen to him and what he says, it's always that we'll win lots of money. And by the way, he flip-flops on things. He says one thing, it's another thing. You know, I looked up when he was saying that he was against the Libyan intervention. And then I went to one of the websites, I think it was BuzzFeed. Yeah, I think it was BuzzFeed. And they had a whole interview of him, you know, when he did his own out-of-his-office interviews and telling how we have to take down Gaddafi. And, you know, he says one thing, but then he keeps going, and we're going to make him pay for it with the oil. So there's always the money angle in it. And, again, his popularity is really based on how the people are so disenchanted with the Republican
exactly.
and Democratic
yes,
Party.
Precisely. The other thing, Gerald, is, though, how many people really understand that a president, a standing president, can't really change a lot of things without the support of the people underneath the table and the Senate and Congress?
Yes, it's true. But then again, you look at what has happened in the last, you know, since, you know, the Clintons and the Bushes and the Obamas, you know, they are responsible for where we are today. I'm listening to Hillary Clinton yesterday in her speech, and she's going on and on about how we're going to create manufacturing jobs. And I'm saying to myself, it's her husband that did NAFTA, that sent them overseas. And the crowds cheer, and it's one cheap line after another. And by the way, we did a trend alert the other day. Warren Buffett came out and said that anybody thinks that America is in decline is dead wrong. And then we're looking at this Warren Buffett, and we're reading the whole thing about what he's saying about, you know, how great the country is, and children born today are the luckiest generation ever. And we say, well, you know, this guy's a smart guy. How could this be? And how could he say that? And then we saw the why, because right after the South Carolina victory, Hillary Clinton started going after Trump and saying, no, we don't have to make America great again. America's already great. And then we start doing our research. We find out that Warren Buffett is a big supporter of Hillary Clinton, held $32,000 a plate fundraisers, gave money to super PACs. So you can see what this is all about.
Gerald, we're going to talk about your trends when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. We're with the man, Gerald Celente, trendsresearch.com. Gerald, I want to get into some of these trends, but I got to get your take on Sports Authority taking bankruptcy and possibly shutting down all its stores if it can't find an investment buyer.
Well, yeah, I think Catherine Austin Fitz really summed it up well, and you know she does a great job in really analyzing these things. And it's a slowdown, by the way, in the entire retail sector. There's no question that online is taking a big chunk of it. And she mentioned what happens with these mergers and acquisitions as they take on so much debt and they don't expand in a very intelligent way because the investors in the private equity groups are just interested in driving up the profits short term, getting their money, and then you know how it works
money,
after that.
Sure.
So again, when you look across the board, you look at the retail sales this past holiday season, they're nothing to write home about, and it's more and more consolidation. And again, you look at the real numbers. We have 51% of the people, 51% of working people are earning $30,000 a year or less. Median household income in the United States is below 1999 levels. You look at what they used to say when the gas prices started going down, when oil prices started going down, and they were talking about, oh, you know, all this now money is going to go in people's, you know, pocketbooks, and they're going to be able to spend more. Oh, yeah? How about you look at real wages? I mean, they're just about flat compared to inflation. And then you look at the jobs that are being created, and they're paying, you know, not a lot of money. Again, 30,000 people, $30,000 or less of 51% of the population. So, no, that money that they save on gas, you know, does it come to $1,000 a year for a family?
Sure.
And so big deal. What are your medical expenses? How about your rent? You can't afford to buy a house anymore, and now rents are going up. So it's a slowdown in the entire retail sector, and there's not enough money to go around. And then you go back to the sports. Just think about what's going on. You look at the decline in golf. You look at the decline in all of the sports in activities. It's not like it used to be. People are more sedentary. They're more hooked to their video games, virtual sports. Look at, could you imagine sitting in a stadium and playing a virtual sports game rather than playing the real deal?
That could happen one day.
It's happening now.
That's amazing. All right, trends. Let's look at what's going on for trends. We're going to take calls with Gerald next hour, too, by the way. What do you see out there over the next couple of years?
Well, you know, let's break them down. You know, one of the things you're talking about with Donald Trump, one of his popular things that in a populist movement, and it's not only him, it's in virtually every country, is, you know, let's make it at home. And, you know, if I'm gonna force Apple to make their computers or their iPhones, whatever, their phones here.
Not going to happen.
Of course it's not. But look what really does happen. There's a story that just came out. One of our top trends for 2016 is self-sustainability. Here we're a country of, 320 million people thereabouts, and we can't make our own shirts, shoes, computers. So a self-sustaining economy is one that grows the economy because you're doing business within your boundaries and the money staying in the country. So here's a story just to show you. This is just Tuesday, March 1st.
Okay.
Europe's, this is from Financial Times. Europe's manufacturers find haven at home. The continent offers stable growth amid emerging market volatility and the downturn. Many of Europe's largest industrial groups now regard their home continent as a source of stable growth amid the economic woes in emerging markets, marking a reversal of strategy for some businesses that spent years on overseas expansion to offset stagnant domestic sales. Quote, amid the volatility and the downturn, Europe's the safe haven, says Christian Schultz, European Economics Director of Citigroup. Now, remember, we said this is one of our top trends for 2016, self-sustainability. The profit is at home. And when you think of what, how, for example, of buy local trends, how they've caught on so big, farm to table, you put that on a national level. And this is going on, by the way, in many countries. It's part of the whole populist movement. So to us, self-sustainability is really the only way out. And again, when you think about, I mean, here, this is from today's editorial in the New York Times. Ms. Clinton should continue campaign on who she is and what she can do for the middle class Americans seeking leadership that reflects the best, not the worst, of political. What is she going to do? What have they ever done before? And again, I'm not taking a side here.
I understand. Yeah.
But you look at what NAFTA has done to this country. And you remember candidate Obama going on the campaign trail and going into the Rust Belt and saying, folks, you know, we're going to revisit NAFTA. And then what does he do? He's shoving Trans-Pacific Partnership down our throat.
That's right. We're getting double whammies.
And Hillary Clinton was behind that, too. Now she's backtracking on it. So what I'm saying is, to us, as we see it, as trend forecasters, what worked before, how could it work now? So to us, it's a very, this is what, you know, how about putting back, killing NAFTA? Because what Donald Trump was saying, you know, yesterday, you know, what, $48 billion trade deficit with Mexico. And you're seeing one company after another going down there. And then, and again, it's Ross Perot, that sucking sound, that great debate with him and Al Gore. So we lost that. So why can't we go pre-NAFTA? Why can't we put back into place the Robinson-Patman Act, Sherman Antitrust Act, Clayton Antitrust Act, that they put in place so that we, the people, would have a shot at winning in the land of opportunity? So to us, self-sustainability is a trend that you're seeing it already in Russia. You're seeing, for example, they're in a recession. They rely on oil and gas as their one of their, you know, major export items. So what are they doing? Oh, you want to put sanctions on us? We're going to put sanctions on you. So now they're trading more within their country to be more self-sustaining. So to us, self-sustainability is a major trend in advancing economies.
Do you think any of these politicians can really create jobs when these companies have fled?
Yes, again, with a self-sustainability, but not from a politician. Because, you know, you think of the words like, for example, you know, people say you have to be politically correct. That's an oxymoron. There's nothing politically, there's nothing correct about being political. And look, you know the numbers, you know who's paying who. It's not a representative society. I mean, here in New York, we got this guy Cuomo. He just gave, Alcoa, you know, something like $20 million to keep an aluminum smelting plant up in upstate New York. They're closing smelting plants all over the country. And then you look at this guy, he has one of his chief staff that just got a job with Madison Square Garden, and the guy owns Cablevision. Madison Square Garden does not pay taxes in New York City. And their campaign, this guy that owns the Cablevision, gave him $450,000 in campaign contributions. So it's not going to come from politicians. It has to come from morality. And as I said, we call this the presidential reality show. How about a presidential morality show? And that to us is what's missing. So, no, it's not going to happen with politicians in the game that we're playing now.
Gerald, in Indianapolis, the Carrier heating and cooling workers went ballistic when they were told 1,400 of you are losing your jobs. We're going to Mexico. They went crazy.
And then you look what happened in all the tax breaks, loan guarantees that they got for staying there for in the beginning. And by the way, my master's degree was in public administration. And I'm, you know, old enough, you know, the first wave of the baby boomers, which is another big trend, we're turning 70 this year, to remember when these economic development agencies began and how faulty they were. And in doing all the studies and showing that the promises that they make by having we, the taxpayer, actually subsidize these big groups that go in there, they don't pay out. And it's the corporations that win. So exactly what happened in Indiana is happening, as I mentioned, just up here with Alcoa Aluminum, the same thing.
Same thing.
We always lose.
And in Indianapolis, they're going to move, Carrier's going to move over like a couple of years. Those employees are going to be disgruntled. God knows what could happen.
Of course. So again, it's part of the multinationalism, and it goes back to self-sustainability. And again, if we don't build it here, and this isn't free trade, by the way. I mean, what the multinationals are doing. I mean, you take an Apple or a Nike or any of them. They're not manufacturing anything anymore. They have somebody else do it.
Yeah, they just job it out.
Yeah, at a slave labor wage, and then they bring it up back to the country and mark it up.
That's right. They
so
become marketing.
If we
want
to keep it going like that, we can see where we're going.
The boomers are turning 70 this year.
I know.
Unbelievable.
One of them.
I'm right behind you. I'm getting close. Isn't that something?
You think about it, from Davy Crockett to Howdy Doody, and now, you know, so this is a huge trend because this is the big wave of people, you know, post-World War II. They don't want to end up as inmates in nursing homes. And I listen to your advertisements, and it's about products and services to keep people healthy.
Yes.
Whole health healing is going to be a huge trend. You were talking also about water and about, you know, drinking more water and how it helps you stay. Do you know that carbonated soft drinks have declined 14% since 2004? And in a few years, there's going to be the same amount of sales in water. I'm mentioning this is because, in looking at these trends, they don't overlie in all areas. America is a first, second, and third world nation. And in that first, second, and third world nation, there are different eating and living habits, of course. So what we're saying as trend forecasters is that, you know, unfortunately, you go where the money is. And you have to go to that sector that has the money if you want to make profit. We were talking about Sports Authority. Once you have a lot of competition, you have very thin margins of profit. So you have to go where there's the higher profit margin. The high profit margin is with boomers in every aspect of their lives. And you take another aspect. For example, how many people take jobs and they say, you know, like we're right up here in Colonial Kingston, New York. Right across the street from us is the courthouse. A lot of this is the county seat, and I know a lot of people. They say, "How do you like your job?" 3 years, 8 months, and 5 weeks. They could count the time when they're going to be quitting because they hate what they're doing. Now you're reaching the age where you've been around long enough. And now you're going to start creating the person of who you are. We have a video. Anybody could go to our site, trendsresearch.com, and then go to Trends TV. And there's one of Stanley and June Blum. We did this when they were 95 years old. Stanley began painting. He's published 5 books. He began painting at 80 years old. You're looking at the longevity of life. I just went to a funeral. May her soul rest in peace. Catherine Liberatore, 101.
Wow.
And by the way, the church was packed, and the priest said, you know, usually these places are empty when somebody that's old dies. She left such an impression. We had a party for her last year. She was dancing.
Oh, that's
beautiful, cool. Graceful woman.
Loved life.
Exactly. So here we are. We've been around long enough. We know the score. And this is the time to live before you die. It makes no difference what you were. It makes a difference who you is. This whole boomer trend could be a renaissance in a lot of ways. You know, my father, may his soul rest in peace, we're eating dinner, and he look at me and he say, you know, son, they say that youth is wasted on the young. He'd take a couple of more bites and he'd say, and they were talking about you. And what I'm saying is when you're a kid, you don't know. And now we have the experience behind us to really make a difference. Look at the presidential race. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, both going to turn 70.
I know.
So it's not about, oh, the kids will turn. Oh, we have to look at the millennials. No, you're a kid. Look at the stuff you did when you were young. Oh, my God. You know, I love it. Jeez, I did that. You know, so the boomers can be in the cutting edge of positive change. And again, product services needs to fill their, how am I going to retire? Where am I going to live? How am I going to stay healthy? And again, the products to support that.
What about robots, Gerald?
We've gone from industrialization to robotization.
Instantly.
Yep. And it's real, and it's going to continue to happen. Oh, we're talking about jobs, manufacturing.
That's right. Oof.
A lot more of those gone as well. And again, you know, people, you know, we're actually, you know, we write a lot about this. You know, robots, people are becoming robots themselves. I mean, just go outside. They're walking down the street. They're disconnected from everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they're tapping away on their hands.
Yep.
I mean, it may be a point that comes. I mean, this is the Matrix in so many different ways.
Or they're zombies, Gerald. I've never seen more people spaced out in all my life.
You got it. So the robots become in charge. It's like a science fiction movie coming true.
Artificial intelligence.
Yeah. And by the way, that's one of the things that, what's that famous fellow, that artificial, the
Kurzweil?
Yes. Hey,
he's with Google now, too, you know.
Which one?
He's with Ray Kurzweil, right?
No.
Arthur C. Clarke?
No, he has some kind of a disease. He's very...
Oh, Stephen Hawking,
yes.
The physicist.
And he's warning about artificial intelligence taking over. And I agree with him.
Oh, yeah, he's right. It's going to get smarter.
People, it's zombies. So robotization, think about it. We've gone from industrialization to robotization. But there are positives to it, too. And so it's not, you know, all one negative. If we put it into a positive, because it brings us into one of our other trends, and that's virtual reality. This thing is real, and it's changing.
In all ways.
It is going to be the biggest investment opportunity in so many different ways. Right now, it's being concentrated in the gaming area. That's just this is the way these things begin. Go back again. Remember when the computer games began?
That's right.
What was that game that used to...
Pong. That came out by Atari, Nolan Bushnell, and people would spend hours watching this little blip hit another blip. That was it.
That was it. Beginning of computerization.
I think Steve Jobs or Bill Gates might have been involved in that in their early career.
So you remember how big it was.
Yeah.
So again, that's the beginning of computers. And then, of course, it went from gaming to where we are today. Now, you know, I mean, the internet is the Alexandrian library on steroids. So now you look at virtual reality. To us, it's going to start changing things in the medical field. You're going to have more virtual reality visits to the doctor. We believe it's going to, one of the biggest changes it's going to make is in education. And again, we're saying this is the investment opportunity of the next 20 years. This thing is just beginning. Because think about it. All these little kids growing up, I mean, they're infants, and they're on handheld.
Well, and they know tablets. They know everything. It's just me. Gerald, we're going to take a break. We'll come back, talk more, and we'll take calls on Coast to Coast AM.